Shalom Aleichem, this is Rabbi Kovacs. Mishneh Yomi is holding in Chapter 4 of Yevamot, Mishnah Gimel. Shomeret Yavam, a woman awaiting Yibum, meaning unfortunately her first husband died with no children, and now she's waiting for one of his surviving brothers to either do Yibum or Chalitza. She's called Shomeret, awaiting Yavam, for Yibum or Chalitza. Shenaflu lo nechosim, and she inherits something valuable. Modim Beit Shammai uVeit Hillel, both the Academy of Shammai and of Hillel agree in this case, Shemocheret, she could sell whatever she inherits, Venotenet, or give it away as a gift, Vikoyam, and whatever transfer or sale or investment she chooses to do with this property, that is a valid transaction. So even if she invests it all in Bitcoin, you know, it's hers to play with and do whatever she wants with. Now, the potential issue here is when a woman is married and receives a gift or an inheritance, then technically her husband gets to use that property during the marriage and then return it to her after the marriage. Now, this Shomeret Yavam, her first marriage ended, but she's still sort of in limbo, waiting to see if she's going to be married to one of the surviving brothers of her husband. So even though there is a degree of potential attachment to one of the brothers to become her new husband, we don't say that the brothers have any financial stake in property that this woman receives at this time. The Mishnah goes on, Meta, what if this Shomeres Yavam passes away, you know, before they do Yibam or Chalitza? Ma Yaseh Biktivota, what do they do about the Kisuva? Now, the Kisuva is the marriage contract, the money that a woman would receive upon death or divorce, Chas V'Shalom. And if the wife actually becomes deceased before the husband, then obviously the husband never pays that Kisuva amount. And also, there's property that comes into the marriage and leaves the marriage with her. Now, we're going to talk about this in more detail in Chapter 7, and when we get to Masechet Ketuvot in great detail, that there are different categories of property. There's a type of property called Tzon Barzel, literally iron sheep, and these are items which are assessed before the marriage and written into the Ketuvah. And these enumerated resources or properties, the husband gets to use them during the marriage, but must return their entire value intact. So if she has a field worth $500,000, and the husband, doesn't take care of it very well, and now it's worth $250,000, he is on the hook to pay her the entire value of that property. Now, there's another type of property called nichsei molug, literally plucking properties. The husband could pluck and eat it. For example, she has an orchard, he's allowed to eat the fruits, and in whatever shape it's in at the end of the marriage, it goes back to her or back to her heirs when the marriage ends. Now, as a quick aside, we're dealing with laws of marriage and marriage contracts that are literally over 3,000 years old. So it's important to keep in mind that our modern understanding of marriage and equal divisions of property does not apply here. But it is important to keep in mind that, you know, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, certainly almost every culture in the world treated women as property. Only under Jewish law, women could own property, inherit property, invest property, had that degree of independence and autonomy that women in other cultures were not granted until extremely recently in human history. But back to the Mishnah, Beit Shammai Omrim, Beit Shammai holds, Yachloku Yorshei Bal Yorshei Ha'av. What they should do with this property, since this Shomeres Yavam, she was not yet married in Yibam, and if the brothers had instead done Chalitza to release her, then that property really would have gone back to her father's household, her father, her brothers, and her sisters. So since both the surviving brothers of her first deceased husband and her father's family and siblings have rights, potentially, to this property, Yachloku, they divide it, Yorshei Bal, the inheritors of the husband, Im Yorshei Av, with the inheritors from her father's family, the family she grew up in. Beit Hillel, Omri, but Beit Hillel says, Nechosim bechezkotan. The properties, the monies, go with their chazaka. They stay where they are now. He explains the ketuva, the kesuva money, bechezkat yorshei habol. That stays with the inheritors of the husband. After all, she passed away before the brothers had a chance to do yibum, so there was never really a reason to pay her the ketuva money. And the nechosim hanichnosim v'yotzi mima, properties that go in and go into the marriage and leave the marriage with her, the different types of, basically it's dowries and property that she has rights to, she has interests in, bechezkot yorshei ha'av. So that came from her original family or family of origin, so it goes back to that family. Now let's go on to Mishnah. Dalid kinosa. If the yavam, the surviving brother, brought her in, meaning married the Shomeris Yavam, Mazel Tov, they did a marriage in through Yibam, Harei hi ka'ishto l'kol davar. Now she is his wife for all legal purposes. So the Bartnura here cites the Gemara explaining this Mishnah, that what it means is, there's once they've done a Yibam, there's no more Chalitza needed if this couple were later to get divorced. And even if they get divorced, they could actually remarry, provided she doesn't marry someone else in the interim. So she's like a regular wife, like a regular first-time wife, not treated like the widow of a brother. Bilvad, but the only exception is, should say, kiduvota al nichse baila harishon, that her ksuva payment, the money that she'll receive if there's a divorce now from the surviving brother or he passes away, that money comes from the estate of the original husband. The Gemara explains, if there was no more money in that estate, then certainly the second husband, the surviving brother who performed Yibam, he would be on the hook for that money. Yishar kochachem, zay gezunt.